Well, welcome to our third evening and final evening. We've got Saturday morning as well, if you're able to come. So we're going to pray and then we'll continue in our study. Let's pray. Father, we come before you to pray for the refreshing of the Holy Spirit on our bodies, our minds, and also on the faculty of understanding you and your truth. Refresh us. Give us life. Give us clarity of mind. And speak to us, we pray. And so impart the truth to us that we go from here changed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're now on our third evening, and we're going to finish considering the book of Hebrews and the subject of the blood in the book of Hebrews. Now, we've really reached chapter 7 in the book of Hebrews in our brief overview of this book, and if I can remind you what we've been saying so far, we said that really the covenant of Moses was a covenant that contained the problem. It was like putting a lid on the problem of sin. And as such, it was no real answer to sin. And it was limited by the weakness of Moses. And he talks here about the priesthood. But then here in Hebrews, he talks about the excellence of the person of Christ. And today I've read the book of Hebrews through again. And I was really forcibly struck by the greatness of Christ. And as I read the chapters again, and I thought it all through again and looked at it all afresh, I realized that there is something I would like to reemphasize here, and it is the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ. In other words, we often talk about what we know so confidently, as if, you know, like when we give a name to something as human beings, we think, well, we know what that is now. Like, for example, television. You know what a television is, and you know what a radio is. But if I asked you to explain how music or pictures travels through the air on a little wave and is put into your box and comes out as a picture, you would know. In fact, even the scientists who invented it don't fully know how it works. But how much more with the person of Christ? What I'm saying is this, that we know Christ is not an angel. We know he is God. We know he is the Son of God. We know he became a man. And we can go through all the things we know, but in the end, there's the mystery of who this fantastic, wonderful person is. And we're only knowing just the beginning. Christ is infinite, he is God, he is divine, he is... The words we use to describe him should teach us that there is something about Christ that we don't know anything about. And we'll discover these things in eternity. Now, the reason I emphasize this is because it's the amazing fact that it's God's Son. It's this unique person, this eternal member of the Godhead, who is a unique personality, a unique a person, and he is also God. All these qualities, and yet now we have to say there are many things about him we don't know. It's a bit like the dark side of the moon. You might say, well, you know, we've never seen the far side of the moon. And now scientists have gone and they've photographed it and you look at it and there it is and so on. But there are things about Jesus Christ we don't know. He is far greater than we will ever be able to fully grasp. And Paul, when he writes in the New Testament about God in his second letter of Timothy, he says, God who dwelleth in light unapproachable, whom no man can see or has ever seen. And there is this fact that there's going to be something about God that we don't know and we will never know. The Bible says we will know as we are known, but I don't take that to mean that I will know everything about God. I mean, it simply knows that I will know God from the position of a sinless heart. I will know that one day, and I will have perfect fellowship with God, but I will still not fully grasp the infinite and the wonder of this person called Jesus Christ. And when we look at the book of Hebrews, this is why he's saying this is the excellence of this covenant. It's because it's come not through a great prophet like Moses, not through a great leader like Joshua. It's come through a person who spans the divine and unites it with the human and thereby becomes our Savior. And he is our priest. If I were counseling a drug addict, and I were to say to him, well, I was once on drugs. I wasn't. I was never on drugs. But if I were to say, well, I was once on drugs and I understand how you feel, then he might say, wow, that's great. God saved you. That helps me understand how he can save me. Well, in one way, Christ is not going to be our... he's never been on drugs. He's never been a sinner like us. But he did become a man, and he was tempted, says the Bible, says Hebrews, in all points like as we are. So he understands our temptations. So when he comes to us as our Savior, he comes now not only as Almighty God, he comes as one who fully understands what you feel like as a human being. And Christ has spanned the gap between Almighty God and humanity. If we turn to chapter 8, he gives this verse 1. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And he goes on now to talk about the priesthood. He's saying, we have a great high priest who is Christ. What does this basically mean? It basically means that a priest is, if you like, he's bringing you to God. He's reconciling you with God. And a priest who, under the Aaronic priesthood, he was a sinner. He could bring people to forgiveness, but he couldn't take them any further because he didn't know God himself deeply. He was a sinner. He was limited. He couldn't have deep fellowship with God. He didn't understand God. He could understand us because he was a sinner. Aaron could understand us. We could understand and sympathize with Aaron. We could have that understanding, but Aaron couldn't take us very far. And Aaron couldn't bring much of God down to us. But what he's saying is Christ is now bringing not just us from our sin to a little bit of distance. He's bringing us all the way to God and bringing God right down to us. Really what Hebrews is saying is, it's a bit like when you go forward at a meeting. If I were to give testimony of how everybody I touched was healed, if I were to give testimony, I could put my hands on you and the Holy Spirit would flow into you. If I could give testimony and I could prophesy exactly what's in your heart immediately, you say, wow, let me get to that man. Let him put his hands on me. I want that man to pray for me. And that's one reason why we often run to great ministers, because we want them to prophesy, pray, do something for us. We want them to minister Christ. And thank God, we are able to as ministers. We can minister deliverance, healing, and the Spirit of God. But the point is here that Christ is our high priest. In other words, there is a greater than whoever is your hero. There is a greater than your hero who can put his hands upon your head and minister into you all the states that are in the Godhead. The ministry of Christ is to pour into you all that is in Jesus.